Welcome to the Devoted Podcast. My name is Amy, and I'm excited to bring you these conversations about loving God with all that we are, right where we are. We're all devoted to something, and God's desire is that He be the one we ultimately give our hearts to. Because it's only through this wholehearted devotion that we can truly live the life He created us for. Hey friends, welcome back to the Devoted Podcast. I am so glad to have you with me. Today we're going to be talking about how we navigate seasons of waiting well. And I'm going to be the first to put my hand up and say, I have often failed in this area. I've had a tendency to run ahead of God, to get impatient and try and take things into my own hands. I've had to learn the hard way that His timing is so much better than mine. So I've invited my friend Penny to join me today to talk about the subject of devoted waiting. And I pray that our conversation inspires you to trust God when He asks you to wait and to chase after Him with wholehearted devotion. I am so excited to welcome to the podcast today my friend Penny. Penny is one of those women who just lights up a room. She carries the joy of the Lord wherever she goes, and I know that her story is going to be such a blessing to all of you today. So welcome, Penny. Do you want to let us know a little bit about you?
Thank you so much, Amy. It is such a privilege to be with you. Well, hello everyone. I'm Penny Patterson. I'm originally from a small village in the UK, hence my accent. And I've travelled the world mainly on mission trips. I was actually ordained as an Elam minister in the UK, and then I came out to New Zealand to cover a pastor's travel leave at an Elam church in Christchurch. And I haven't left. I'm now based in Auckland. I met my husband, George, at church, and we've been married coming up 6 years. He was a single dad with two young girls, so I became a wife and a stepmom all at once, which has been a journey in itself, and we're now navigating the teenage years. And for me, I've recently taken on a new role of operations manager at Family Life New Zealand, which is a global ministry focusing on marriages and families that's been established here in New Zealand for 30 years. And George and I are championing the blended side of the ministry across New Zealand as well, which we're very passionate about. And just a little fun thing about me, in my spare time, I enjoy playing keys in a church band, skiing in winter, and either riding horses or motorbikes in the summer, along with my husband. That's something he got me into, and various motorbike groups that we ride with.
You are braver than I am, Penny. That's all I'm going to say, because you wouldn't get me on a motorcycle.
Oh, he booked me in for a 2-hour lesson. And as we were going there, I said, remind me why I'm doing this again. He said, it's only 2 hours of your life. Just try it. And I've never looked back.
Good on you. It was terrifying enough for me to learn to drive a car. I don't think I would add a motorbike to it. And my husband has seen my cycling skills. He's a keen mountain biker and thought that maybe that was something we could do together. So he fixed me up a bike and then put me in a field, and I managed to ride into the garage in the middle of the field. So he was convinced after that point in time that maybe this wasn't the right hobby for us and that I would be safer off a bike. But I am so glad that you did stay in New Zealand. And I met Penny when I was doing my own credentialing process to become an Elam pastor. We had to do these live-in weeks for 2 out of the sort of 4 to 5 years that we were on what they called probation, which I always think is such a terrible term because it sounds like we've all been let out of jail. But I met Penny when she was Penny Upson, and I clearly remember one of our first conversations where you introduced yourself to me as Penny Upson, that you were waiting to find Mr. Downs so you could be Mrs. Ups and Downs, that you thought that would be quite fun.
I thought that would be the funniest surname and I would have to do it. But Mr. Downs didn't come along, but Mr. Patterson came along and changed my world.
But Penny, all jokes aside, that was a very deep desire of your heart and something you had to wait a really long time to see realized. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that and some of the places that God has asked you to wait in life?
That's right, Amy. I always believed from a young age that I would be married one day, and it was something I did desire, and it was something that I had to wait a long time for. I didn't get married until I was 40, so I waited a long time, and that whole process of waiting has been a whole journey and experience for me, and I've learnt many different things along the journey, and I'd love to share a few of those with you today. I like that phrase, sometimes I use it, don't let the wait become a weight. So don't let the length of time, the wait, become like a heavy weight, because we don't always know how long that wait is going to be. And I experienced that in waiting for my husband to come along.
Yeah, and that was another saying that I heard you say quite early on after meeting you. And I think I even used it in one of my Bible studies. I did give you, you know, credit where credit is due. It's been something that has stuck with me because, like you say, we don't always get to choose what we're waiting for or how long we're waiting mm-hmm. for that desire to be realized or that answer to come. But we can choose some of how we wait. So how do we do this? How have you learned in your own journey to fight back and to press through the discouragement that inevitably does come when we have to wait for extended periods of time? How have you learned to not let the wait be a heavy burden to carry?
That's a great question, Amy. I love that. And I think sometimes the length of time, the wait, can depend on what we're waiting for. If we're waiting for a cake to finish in the oven, or if we're waiting for test results, or if we're waiting for our name to be called at a doctor's or the dentist, or if we're waiting for our husband to come along. All of these things, depending on what it is, can be days or weeks or months or years, depending on what it is we're waiting for. And a few of the things that I've found that have been really helpful in my journey is to see it for what it is. You know, some things are going to take time, and that's actually okay. I'm always someone that I think it's partly the society we live in now. We like things to happen quickly. We don't like to wait a long time for anything. But I've learned that we can't always rush the process. And if you take a cake out of the oven too early, it will probably sink in the middle and you won't get the best result. And I think a key thing for me has been really trying to enjoy and embrace the season or the waiting time that I've actually been in. And that's been seeing it and owning it for what it is, rather than saying, well, this or whatever this is hasn't happened yet. So rather than put my life on hold in the meantime, actually ask myself, what am I going to do with it? And enjoy the time you have and make the most of it. I remember as a single back in England one time, I had a friend visiting from Canada, a lovely, lovely girl, Lanny, her name is, and we sat in Starbucks on a Tuesday saying, wouldn't it be great to visit here or there or do something? And 3 days later, we were on a plane to Rome because we were both single. We had time on our hands.
Wow.
We could be completely spontaneous. And so we did things like that. We embraced the journey and made the most of it. But also, as a Christian, I've really learned to trust God and His timing. And over the years, I've learned that if I really do trust that God has a great plan for my life, then I have to remind myself that He knows exactly where I'm at in life and what stage I'm in. Nothing catches Him by surprise. And I've found that over the years that there is a real peace and joy that comes with surrendering to Him and saying, not my will, Lord, but yours. Also, I've learned to think differently around it. Sometimes we can view our stage in life as a negative instead of seeing the positive in it. And there's a verse in Romans 12, verse 2 that talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I think sometimes that's exactly what we need to do, because we can get so wrapped up in our own world that it's all we think about. And I've learned also to really celebrate others, because I've found that when things might be difficult in my life, or when I've been waiting for something, I've found that when I get my eyes and attention off myself and onto others, it's been really helpful.
Yeah.
So sometimes maybe when I wasn't feeling great, I would purposely do something kind for someone else, whether that was anonymously or not. It helped shift my perspective and stop me from being too introspective.
How did you find that when what you needed to celebrate was what it was that you were hoping for? Like when a friend announced their engagement, or you've also waited in different seasons to be released into ministry, when other people were getting the opportunities that you were hoping for, like how did that play out when you were watching other people thrive and, I guess, get the things that you were wanting to get?
Great question, because it's not always easy. And it takes me back to a time when I had a friend, she was a few years older than me. She'd been desperate to meet someone, and she finally met this amazing guy, and she was so happy, and she was enjoying her season. They got engaged, and I was helping to plan her wedding, and we sat down one night with her and her fiance and our pastors, who were hopelessly in love as well, and we just had a great meeting and planned her wedding, and I was so happy for her. I genuinely was, but I went home and I was crying, going, God, have you forgotten me? Like, when is my time going to come? And I knew within my heart of hearts that God hadn't forgotten me. And I also was 100% happy in celebrating her. And I think knowing that God has a plan in everything and that he hasn't forgotten us has been something that's been like an anchor to me.
Yeah.
And the same in full-time ministry. I knew from the age of 17 that one day I would be in full-time ministry, and I believe we're all in full-time ministry, whatever we're doing, whether we're raising a family, we're out in the workplace, whatever we're doing, we're all in full-time ministry. But I knew for me, I'd been called to an area of church ministry for a time, and I thought it was all going to happen when I was 25. I thought I'd get married at 25. I thought everything happened when you're 25. I don't know why.
But my magic number was 30, so I gave myself a few more years, but likewise, I was still disappointed when 30 rolled round and nothing magically changed.
Same. I don't know why we do this, but we tend to do it. Anyway, 25 came and went and nothing was happening, but I've realized, interesting, God's timing is often different to mine, in fact, many times.
Yeah, I was going to say all the time.
I think all the time. And, you know, but in trusting him, he has opened up doors and opportunities for me that I could not have ever dreamed of. Mm. And sometimes I always think hindsight's a great thing because we can look back. But as I look back over my life, I'm going, wow, so that's why that happened then. And that's why that didn't happen then, because this has now happened. And if I had have done that, I couldn't have done this. And all of the things that I look back and I go, wow, God, actually, your plans are incredible. And even coming over to New Zealand and what that was, how that was all meant to look like, has been different to what I anticipated, but it's been absolutely amazing. And I've also found that whatever season you're in, it's really good to get around good people that are going to cheer you on and celebrate you in the season that you're in.
That's good. That's really good, Penny. Not only do we need to cheer people on, but we need to find people who can be cheerleaders for us. I know that's been so important in my own journey as well, to just know that there are people who not only believe in me, but like you've been talking about, they are convinced that God has a plan and a purpose, and that his timing is worth waiting for. And so they encourage us to keep pressing in and keep believing that God will work all things together for our good.
Totally.
So that's awesome. I love how you talked about that you chose to make the most of the season that you were in, and you and your girlfriend spontaneously hopped on a plane and went to Rome. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like, in this current context, that sounds like a dream, doesn't it?
I know.
That freedom,
it really
just
does.
Get on a plane and go somewhere. But often we view seasons of waiting as dead time, like someone's hit the pause button and life is on hold until that thing happens or that circumstance changes. Why do you think that's a dangerous way to live, and what can we do to change that mindset that we have that waiting means being on hold?
Well, sadly, I've seen too many friends and people in my world put their whole life on hold while they wait. And I've heard phrases from people saying, well, when I meet my husband, I'll go traveling, or then I'll do this, or I'll do that. And I want to encourage people, just do it anyway. You know, if you're on your own right now and you're in a season of singleness, however long that may be, do it anyway. And then if you want to go back somewhere with your husband, if you get married later on, then do that and just enjoy the journey. Something I learned really early on was to, I think I got this quote from Joyce Meyer, it was do it afraid. Yeah. And I'll just tell you one quick example. I was invited to a wedding in Orlando, Florida. I'm realizing now it makes my life sound extremely glamorous and that I travel around the world. That's not always the case, although I have had, like I said, some incredible opportunities. And my first thought when I got invited to this wedding is, well, I'd have to travel alone. I'd have to hire a car. I'd have to drive on the other side of the road, all of these things. And I was like, no, that's just too scary. If I had a husband, then it would be easy because then we could do it together and this and that. And I thought, am I going to put my whole life on hold until I meet someone or have till I have someone to do these things with? And it was like a wake-up call for me. And I thought, just do it afraid. Like Joyce says, do it afraid. And I did it. And I got on the plane and I picked up the hire car. And I had some wonderful experiences with some great people and attended a beautiful wedding. And now I would jump on a plane and do exactly the same, and I wouldn't even think twice about it. And I learned to do things afraid and step out. But I like to think of the whole waiting time like seeds that are planted. Now, I'm no gardening expert. I won't
well,
even
we have
pretend
that in common.
To be.
I kill plants, absolutely kill them.
Well, I'm learning to, develop in that area with some work we've done in our garden, but I just need to put that disclaimer there. I'm no expert. But I do know that you can have bulbs in the ground. I know it because I've seen it happen. And it can seem like there is absolutely nothing happening during the winter season. In fact, one time somewhere I was living, some bulbs came up and I didn't even know they were there. Like, that's how good I am. I didn't know there were even bulbs in the ground. But then suddenly in the spring, these bulbs can begin to shoot and then bloom. And on the outside, it looks like there's nothing happening. But underneath, there is a process and there's growth. And then when the time is right, you see the flowers in bloom. And I think the same can be absolutely true for our lives. Sometimes it can look like there might be nothing happening on the outside.
Yeah.
And a good question to ask is, God, what are you doing with me during this time? And help me to grow into the person you've made me to be and called me to be. And certainly this was something I wanted to do as a single person. I wanted to work on being the best version of me that I could be. I wasn't looking for a guy to come along and complete me. I was complete in myself.
That's awesome.
I was thinking, well, if someone comes along, they're just going to stand alongside me and add to me. It's not going to be completing me. So I worked on being the best version of myself that I could be. And I think changing our perspective from this waiting time being dead time to it being growth time can be hugely beneficial and helpful in how we view our lives.
That is so good, Penny. And I know for myself, my 20s felt like a waiting room for different reasons. I had married at 19, but there were a lot of other aspects of my life that it just felt like it was happening for everybody else and it was never going to happen for me. And it felt like a perpetual winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I
been there.
Look back now though, and I see so much of what God forged in me in that season is the growth that has enabled the season I now find myself in, a season that is both bursting with new life and also still feeling like a barren winter in some places. And I'm able to steward both the hard and the beautiful growth, I hope, well, because of the things that God grew in me in a season where it really did look like that bulb, like on the outside, nothing was happening. And I despaired if anything was ever going to happen. But I look back and I see, like you say, with that bulb, just how much was taking place internally. And that understanding has personally helped me navigate other seasons and places of waiting with a much better attitude. Like you say, not allowing it to be a heavy weight, but a time where we look to God and we say, God, what is it that you're wanting to do here? How can I partner with you? Because I definitely lived as a one day when woman, just like you described some of your friends back in that season. It was one day when we're not in debt and one day when, you know, when life is all as it should be, then I will do and be all the things that God intends me to be. But like you, Evelyn, we've got to start taking that step that is in front of us today. And
that's right.
Maybe it's like you did, of pursuing interests and growing and taking adventures. Maybe it's adding a skill, that if we want to have a particular vocation, that we take a step toward upskilling so that when the time is right, we're able to walk through that door that God has opened for us. So much so wisdom that you have already shared for us, Penny. And I'm reflecting already on things that, you know, that I'm waiting for, and just being encouraged to look and see what God is doing there and how I can partner with him. So you've already said this, that hindsight is a wonderful thing, and we've both been doing a bit of reflecting back, but you are now in a season where two of your greatest desires have been realized, that you've married George and you are now in full-time ministry, maybe quite a different form of ministry to what you maybe envisaged, but God has brought those desires to fulfillment. As you look back, what have been some of the treasures that you can see from your time of waiting, that it didn't happen instantaneously for you?
It's true. And I love what you shared just there. There have been so many little treasures along the way. And I think one of the main things is that I have honestly learned to trust God completely with every part of my life and develop a close walk with him. I can tell you, I have avoided unnecessary sadness along the way by not settling and making what could have been poor choices. And I had a friend once who, and I know today we've been talking more about the whole marriage and relationship side of things in particular, but I remember her saying, well, God hasn't bought me a husband, so I've just gone out and found my own. And she settled on a whole number of levels, and she wasn't particularly happy, but I saw that and I just said, Lord, please don't let me settle. Let me wait for the best that you have for me. And I do always encourage people to do that. And it has meant trusting him in the area of my relationships and waiting for the husband that God had prepared for me. And I think of something that was so precious. Just about 3 years ago, I was back in England and I found one of my journals that I wrote, and I found what I've written 20 years prior to me finding it. So I was quite young. And I wrote in there, I believe that God will give me a husband and a family one day, and wrote some other things around that. And as I read this 20 years later, I sat there and I went, wow, God, you've answered that prayer. It looks nothing like I thought it would look like. It didn't happen when I thought it would happen, and it certainly didn't happen in the country I thought it would happen in. But all of these things God has had answered, and I thought his plan, his will is so much bigger and wider than what I could even imagine myself. And I am blessed to be married to an incredible guy who I know has been handpicked for me. And we only said this morning that we actually make a really great team together. And I think some of the other treasures of waiting, I became a Christian when I was 13 years old, and I determined then that I was going to keep myself until I got married, and that my virginity, that would be my gift to my husband one day. And I know that's not everyone's story, so I want to acknowledge that and also say that I know there's complete forgiveness and healing for anyone who may not have chosen that path, and there's certainly no shame around that. And if anyone has regret around that, there is no shame. But this was just my personal decision, and I can say that that has been a wonderful gift as well, and been one of the treasures in that area of waiting that was a personal choice for me. And I just feel that every decision that I've taken, when it's been maybe hard to make the right choice, you know, sometimes we have to choose our friends wisely and choose to do certain things or not do certain things in order to live the life that we want to. Mm-hmm. And making the hard decisions sometimes, it's always worth it in the end, because there is, you know, there's beauty in and treasures in that waiting time and making good decisions along the way.
We were talking before we went live about the beauty of looking back and seeing how God has woven everything together, and how the place that you had to wait in is the place that now your ministry flows out of. And I've often said to Penny that she really reminds me of the verse in Proverbs that says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life." And I'm just going to say, I never watched Penny have a sick heart, because she really kept her hope in the Lord. And that was one of the things that continually struck me about her, and why I so wanted to have her on for this particular episode about staying devoted to God when we wait. Because I can tell you, watching her life, that there's lots we haven't spoken about where she has had to wait, and she hasn't been able to give full expression to things that have been in her heart, and she has just yielded so beautifully, trusting the Lord. And it is just such a joy to watch now how God is taking that desire that you had to be married and to have a family, and he's not just made it a tree of life for you and George and your girls, but he's now enabling you to minister to other blended families and to bring hope and life and resurrection power to their families. And it's just, he is so good, isn't he, Penny?
He's just so good.
So good.
So good. He blows me away constantly.
Yeah, and it is just such a beautiful thing that we can give testimony to today, that we want to encourage you, if you're listening in and you are wondering if God is ever going to give this desire a green light. A very wise man used to say to me when I was in a frustrated season of waiting, "Amy, God doesn't give you desires to frustrate you. He gives them to you that they might be a blessing to you and to those around you." And it certainly felt at the time like God was maybe wanting to frustrate me. But now I realize, if he has placed a deep desire in my heart, if I am willing to yield and, like Penny has said, to let him renew my mind about my season and the desires that I have, that he is able to weave all the different strands of our stories together and to bring those desires to fruition in a much more beautiful way than we would if we just took matters into our own hands.
Mm.
So as we wrap up, Penny, is there a particular verse that encourages you to wait well and to stay in a place of devotion to God that you would like to leave us with?
There is. I've got a couple, but I will share
you
one.
You can share a couple.
This has been where it all comes back to, is what, you know, what does God's word say about this? And I love this in Psalm 37. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it." And it goes on to to say more. It says, don't fret because of him who prospers in his way. And I often used to think about that and go, oh, it looked like other people were prospering and things were happening in their life. And I'd look at them and go, oh, well, I'd like that for my life right now, but it's not happening. And this is, don't fret because of this and that, but trust in God. And it says, the humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. And it was about trusting the Lord and doing good, cultivating faithfulness. Now, faithfulness, it's not always talked about a lot. It's not particularly glamorous, but it's being faithful to our walk with God, being faithful to the truths we believe in ourselves. And I think that's a huge thing. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, and I've come back to this verse many times, and it's similar in a way. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him or submit to him, and he will direct your path. And I think sometimes around that, we think our own understanding, we've got some great ideas and plans for my life. I don't know about you, but I know I do.
I know. I've got some really great ideas.
Yeah.
Anytime the Lord wants to listen, I'm happy to, you know, give him the blueprint.
Anytime. But trusting in him and his plan, that's been something really key to my life. And just one last quick one I'll leave with you is Psalm 87 verse 7, which says, my whole source of joy is in you. And I had to allow God to become that source of joy in my life and sort of stop putting things on hold, stop waiting until this lined up in my life or this had happened or that, and just enjoy life, embrace it, keep close to God, trust him. He's got a great plan for your life, and it's an incredible journey if you choose to do it with him.
Oh, there was so much wisdom in those last few minutes, Penny, and I just know for myself as well, when God has become the one that I am pursuing rather than a predetermined outcome, it really does bring so much more joy to our journey when we make him the one that we desire. So thank you so much for being with us and for sharing a little bit of your story and the things that God has taught you. You are such a gift to so many, and I'm so excited to see what God does through you and your family in this new season of ministry. So thank you for being with us today.
You are so kind, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. And I just want to encourage you just with two last things. If for people that are listening, if you're not in a waiting period right now, let me tell you, there will be a time, whatever it is you need to wait for. So use this time you have to get prepared so that when God asks you to do something, you're absolutely ready.
Amen.
Amy, thank you so much. You are a wonderful friend, and I just thank you for this opportunity and excited for what things you're being led into as well. It's really a privilege to share with you today.
Thank you, Penny.
Wow, wasn't that a fantastic conversation? I hope you've been encouraged by Penny's story that you can trust in the Father's heart toward you and the wisdom of his timing for your life. If you find yourself in a season of waiting today and you're wondering, how do I do this well? I'd love you to check out my book, But I Flourish. It's an exploration of the life of David and a statement he made in a time of uncertainty. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of the Lord. He didn't say, one day when all this stuff is over, then I will grow as God intended me to. No, he said, but right now, right where I am, I flourish. It's become my testimony, and I know that it can become yours also. So head to my personal website, amywalker.co.nz, to check it out. You can download the first chapter for free. Before I sign off, I would just love to pray for you. Father, we thank you that your ways are not our ways. They are so much higher. So we ask that you would help us to trust you, to trust your goodness, to trust your timing when we find ourselves having to wait. Help us to see the purposes that you have for us right now and to partner with you there. I pray especially for those who are discouraged today and feel forgotten. remind them that they are seen, that they are known, and by your Spirit enable them to wait on you, that their strength might be renewed. Help us to wait in a way that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Devoted Podcast. Until next time, keep loving God with all that you are, right where you are.